عين ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and as such we should praise Him, seek His help, and seek forgiveness from Him, and seek refuge in Him from the evil which is within ourselves and the evil which results from our deeds. For whomsoever Allah has guided, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah. The topic for this evening, that of the second millennium, its significance to us as Muslims, whether we should be a part and parcel of the anticipation of this new millennium. The answer is simply that Muslims cannot anticipate the millennium any more than they can anticipate Christmas. Christmas is a reality. It is in the West. It is a part of the system. Our jobs have vacation on that time, etc. So we are aware of it. We know what time of year it is. But we don't anticipate it in the sense that we don't look forward to it, in the sense that it has significance to us, in that we would be a part and parcel of that process of Christmas. We don't do so because of the fact that the concept of the millennium and the word millennium comes from a Latin word, millenarius, which means thousand. This comes from Revelation, the book of Revelations in the Bible. Revelations 20, verse 4, where the dragon, interpreted to be Satan, is described as being bound in chains and thrown into the abyss, the bottomless pit. And Christians would be resurrected and would reign the earth along with Christ. Satan would be thrown into the abyss for that 1,000 years. When he was in the abyss, then the rule of Christ and Christians would take place. When the 1,000 years is up, Satan would be released. He would start to create a little bit of confusion, and then the end of the world would come. The major resurrection would take place, etc. This is their system of beliefs. It is a system of beliefs which is the root of the development of the fundamentalist movement among Christians. You will find that that fundamentalist movement, which believes in the infallibility of the Bible, and which is very, very active in trying to convert Muslims internationally, its roots are in this millenarian belief. Also, all of the various sects which arose, the modern Christian sects, Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh Day Adventists, the Mormons, all of them came out of the millenarian belief, this waiting for the advent of Christ, Christ's second coming. Even the Crusades, historically, the Crusades had its roots in this concept of the millennium. And it was in the Council of Clermont in 1095 that the call for the Crusades took place. This was the end of the 11th century. And it's, I think, significant for us to reflect that the Crusades, which was an attack on the Muslim world, Muslims were portrayed as the Antichrist in the writings of Augustine. They were going to liberate the Holy Land. It is significant for us to note that a similar attitude has developed among leading thinkers, politicians in our times, which match those same types of thought and feelings. We have Professor Samuel P. Huntington from Harvard University, leading political scientist, an advisor to the presidents of America, stating in his book, The Clash of Civilizations, that the problem for the West is not Islamic fundamentalism, it is Islam, a different civilization whose people are convinced of the superiority of their culture and obsessed with the inferiority of their power. And the problem for Islam is not the CIA or the Department of Defense, it is the West, a different civilization convinced of the superiority of their culture and also convinced that it is their duty to use the power which is in their means to impose that culture internationally. So we have, with this new millennium coming up, an attitude where the world, Western world, Western civilization in general, focuses on the Muslim world as being the enemy. It was the Antichrist in the time of the Crusades. Today, it is just the enemy of Western civilization. This is the reality. This is what the millennium has in store for Muslims. A concerted, systematized, organized attack on the Muslim world, on Islam. Now, in terms of Muslims, we have expectations, future expectations. However, our expectations are not clouded in obscure or revelations which require all kinds of interpretations. In fact, what we have are clear statements from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last prophet of Allah, in which he prophesied that for the future, in every century, there would be a mujaddid, one who would come and renew the religion, revive the religion for Muslims. It's the natural cycle that as people distance themselves from the original message, that a certain amount of corruption takes place. The reviver brings them back to the origin. This the Prophet ﷺ promised. And because of that process, till today, Islam can be found in its purity, in the purity that it originally was revealed. Not necessarily in the practices of Muslims. That practice may become very clouded and very corrupt, and it has to a large degree in many parts of the Muslim world today. However, there remains in the midst of Muslims those who have knowledge, scholars, books, wherein one who seeks the truth and wants to know what is pure Islam, it is accessible. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ also told us that towards the end of time, there would appear amongst the Muslims an individual who he referred to as Al-Mahdi, the rightly guided one. And towards the end of his stay, Isa alayhi salam would return. This is a part of the future which the Prophet ﷺ prophesied for us in quite clear and unambiguous terms. This has led historically to people at different points in time claiming that they were the Mahdi. We had from the time, the early centuries after the death of Hussein, that his half-brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he was declared to be the Mahdi, though he didn't accept it himself. After him, you had other individuals who have claimed it. I even came across a claim, somebody on the internet had written me, asking me a question. This individual wanted to marry a sister, Muslim sister, but she belonged to a group which was called the Mahdiya group out of India and Pakistan, and I'd never even heard about this. But according to what he related that there's this individual by the name of Sayyid Muhammad Jaunpuri, who was born in Jaunpur in the late 15th century. He declared himself to be the Mahdi in Mecca, apparently, and in Ahmedabad in India. And he died in Farah in Afghanistan. At any rate, you know, these people believe he was the Mahdi. We also had Muhammad Ahmed in the Sudan in the late 19th century. He was involved in a movement which fought against British colonialism. But he, of course, was not the Mahdi. He claimed to be the Mahdi. He had a variety of different claims along with it, but he wasn't the Mahdi. He was a false Mahdi. And we also had Wallace D. Muhammad, you know, who is now known as Waris al-Din. In 1975, when he took over after his father died, he also claimed he was the Mahdi too. And perhaps the most recent claim is that of Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qahtani in Mecca. We know in 1979, around the turn of the decade, 79-80, during Hajj, this individual Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qahtani took bay'ah from people at the Yemeni corner, and himself and a band of Muslims occupied the Kaaba. And from their position of occupation of the Kaaba, they began to execute by firing from the minarets at anyone wearing any kind of uniforms outside of the masjid. And the Saudi state was obliged to bring troops in there and fight it out with them and eventually kill this individual who claimed to be the Mahdi. And the other leader of the group, Juhayman al-Utaybi, he was caught along with some 60 others, males, who were executed across the kingdom. That was an incident which shocked the Muslim world. Some people thought that these people were some kind of deviants, you know, Shiites, so it was said. The Shiites actually claimed this to be their people. But the realities of what took place, most people are unaware that the realities were that those who ended up in the haram with this claim and ended up killing Muslims and being killed themselves, these individuals were actually very sincere individuals. They're very sincere. Many of them were former students at the Islamic University in Medina. And others who had been listening to lectures of Sheikh bin Baz and others there, who had banded themselves together in a village outside of Medina and decided that they wanted to apply the Sharia there. They were opposed to what was taking place in Saudi Arabia in terms of the corruption. And they isolated themselves in this village. And there was a student of Sharia in Riyadh who was studying in Imam Ibn Saud University. His name was Muhammad Ibn Abdullah Al-Qahtani. And he used to be the Imam of a masjid there in Riyadh, and he used to give some very powerful lectures for Jum'ah and at other times. And the crowd started to gather to such a degree that the government banned him from giving lectures. Jum'ah. In his masjid. He used to go around to different masjids and give Jum'ah. And people would find out where he was going, and again the crowds were there. Then he was banned from giving any lectures at all. And even his tapes, the lectures, taped lectures, it was considered contraband. If one was caught with it, it would mean trouble. But they were still circulated. And he himself, he left Riyadh. And he went to Medina. And eventually he found his way to that village outside of Medina where a group of students, along with this individual, Juhayman, who was a car salesman, originally with the Saudi National Guard, who had left there. He made his way to that village. Now, before he got to the village, what had happened is that group began to experience dreams. People in the groups began to experience dreams that the Mahdi was coming. Because this was the end. This was 1399. And 1400 is coming. Right? The turn of the century. In fact, there were reports from people from other parts of the world that they started to have these kind of dreams, that the Mahdi was coming. Now, Juhayman's sister, she dreamt that she actually married the Mahdi. And when Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qahtani came to the village, she was shocked. She said it was him. This is the person that she saw in her dream. And of course, his name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, which, as we will see, as the descriptions the Prophet ﷺ gave of the Mahdi, that he would carry his name and his father's name, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And the other people in the community there, you know, they all started to insist. At first, the individual refused. He said, "No, I'm not the Mahdi." And he was a known, righteous individual. He was not corrupt in any way. It is well known, you know, die. But eventually, with enough people telling him he was the Mahdi, they saw him in the dream, and these are true dreams, and one of the signs of the last day, Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, the believer's dreams will virtually come true in most instances. You know, they'll start to see a series of true dreams, one of the signs of the last day. So he became convinced that he was, in fact, the Mahdi. And they went to Mecca and tried to live out the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ related concerning the Mahdi. So though their intention was good, there were people who wanted to practice Sharia, etc. And of course, when they took over the Kaaba and they made announcements over it, the things that they were calling for and insisting on, changes in the system of Saudi Arabia, in its television, in the banking, in a variety of different areas in the society that had become corrupt, they addressed these issues and said these things should be changed. So you can see that what they were speaking about was, you know, correcting things, going back to Islam. But the method that they chose was wrong. Satan had put an idea in their midst. They were a small group. Satan had put an idea in their midst. And because of the fact that they didn't have any exposure to other opinions and other advice, then the idea became accepted amongst them, promoted, and it led them ultimately to Mecca occupation of the Kaaba and killing Muslims. There is a lesson in it for us. The lesson is that as Muslims, no matter how sincere we may be, the organizations which appear amongst us, if they become closed, then they have the potential of harming Muslims, ultimately, in the name of Islam. If we organize ourselves and to do things, we need to organize. If we organize ourselves, that organization should not take on a life of its own. So that when we make da'wah, when we speak to people, we do not invite them to our organization, we invite them to Islam. We invite them to the Quran and the Sunnah. We don't invite them to the organization. And these organizations, which have spread amongst us, unfortunately, most of them call to themselves. Their way is the only way. The end result, for example, of the Ikhwan Muslimin, or Ikhwan Muslimun organization, was Jama'at al-Jihad, Takfir al-Hijra. These are groups which splintered off from Ikhwan Muslimin, which ended up calling to declaring the apostasy of Muslims in general, making the blood of Muslims halal. This is the danger of such organizations. So, when we look into the future, how it is that we will be able to deal with the attacks which will be increasing on the Muslim world in the coming millennium, and we have to do so in an organized fashion, we have to do so at the same time with a sense of openness, that we'll be able to take advice from other Muslims who may see errors in our methodology or errors in our concepts, so that we may be corrected. And remember that our da'wah, our invitation is always to Islam and not to our organization. Now, with regards to the Mahdi, because that is part of our future, there is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari in which Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he asked the Prophet ﷺ about what was to come. And the Prophet ﷺ replied saying, prophethood will remain with you for as long as Allah wills it to remain. Then Allah will raise it up whenever He wills to raise it up. Afterwards there will be caliphate that follows the guidance of prophethood, remaining with you for as long as Allah wills it to remain. Then He will raise it up whenever He wills to raise it. Afterwards there will be a reign of violently oppressive rule, and it will remain with you for as long as Allah wills it to remain. Then there will be a reign of tyrannical rule, and it will remain for as long as Allah wills it to remain. Then Allah will raise it up whenever He wills to raise it up. Then there will be caliphate that follows the guidance of prophethood. And Hudhayfa said, then the Prophet stopped speaking, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he identified the periods of the future with regards to the Muslim Ummah and what changes would take place. He first identified the period of himself, that is the reign of prophethood. Then the caliphate, which is according to the guidance, which we know as the righteous caliphate, the four righteous caliphs, and included along with that is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And then after that, he spoke of a reign which would be unjust. That is the period of the Umayyads and the Abbasids, the Mamluks and the Ottoman state. This is the caliphate, but caliphate with distortion in it, some oppression and injustice. And then there would be the period of tyrannical rule. The period of tyrannical rule, which is after the period of the Ottomans, is the period when the Muslim world was completely colonized, and the period which follows that, the period of neo-colonization, where Muslims now govern themselves in many of the countries, but they continue to govern themselves according to the laws and the systems that were left by the colonial masters. Then there would be a return to the caliphate, which rules according to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That period refers to the period of the Mahdi, who would come. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Mahdi is from my family, a descendant of Fatima. And he said further, even if one day remain in this life, then Allah would lengthen that day until a man from among my family is raised up. His name will be like my name, and his father's name will be like my father's name. And he will fill the earth with justice and fairness as it was filled with injustice and iniquity. He further said, in description of the Mahdi, that he will come from my lineage. His forehead will be broad, his nose will be long and thin, and he will fill the earth with justice and equity as it was filled with injustice and inequity, and he will rule for 7 years. This is part of the future to come. He will be involved in leading the Muslims in a struggle against what was identified then as Rome, which represents Western civilization. And toward the end of those struggles, the word that Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal had appeared would come. And at that time, Isa ibn Maryam would descend, and the time for prayer will come, and Al-Mahdi will lead the prayer. They will ask Prophet Isa to lead, alayhi salam, but he will refuse, and instead the Mahdi will lead. And following that, Dajjal will come in contact with Isa, alayhi salam, leading the armies of Muslims. He will be killed, and Prophet Isa alayhi salam will rule the earth. He will marry, he will have children, and he will die on the earth. And following that, the major signs of the last hour will come one after another. That is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us of the future. However, as was mentioned in the very beginning of the fundraising, this information is good to know in case the circumstance of the Mahdi's arrival takes place in our times whilst we are alive. We should know who the Mahdi is. We should know the descriptions of Dajjal. We should know also about Isa alayhi salam, because we have had people who claim that they were Isa. We had Mirza Ghulam Ahmed in India, Pakistan. He claimed he was Isa. We also had Wallace D. Muhammad. Again, he claimed he was the Mahdi. He also claimed he was Isa, said he was the body of Christ. And we had Dwight York, in the founder of the Nubians in New York. He also claimed he was Isa, till he admitted that he wasn't a Muslim in the end, that he was a Jew. At any rate, this information is good for us to know, so we are able to determine those who would want to claim that they were the Mahdi, or they would want to claim they were Isa, that we would know that they are false. We would have enough information to identify for ourselves who in fact is the true Mahdi, and who in fact was or would be the true Isa alayhi salam. But what is probably more important to us is, as the companion asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Mata sa'a ya Rasulullah?" When will the hour come? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response was, "Umadha adadta lah?" What have you prepared for it? This is what is of most importance to us as Muslims. What have we prepared? The effort to raise funds here is part of that preparation. I ask Allah to bless all of you who contributed to the effort of the center, And I hope that you would continue to contribute to its efforts, because that is part of the preparation. For us, death is imminent. We don't know when it's coming. And once we die, the process of resurrection begins for each and every one of us. And Allah has described for us in vivid detail what will happen in the next life. But the problem is for ourselves that it's not real. We read the Quran, we hear the explanations of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions, etc. But it isn't real for us. So it doesn't move us, it doesn't touch us, it doesn't cause any change in our attitudes, in our behavior. So the Quran isn't a guide for us, though Allah said and described it, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Why? Because we are not muttaqeen. It's not guidance for us because we are not of those with taqwa. Our hearts are empty. So when we hear the verses of Allah, they don't cause us to reflect. When we hear about paradise and hell, it's like stories, the Arabian Nights or any other kind of stories that we read. It's pleasurable, but it's really not real. I would like us to reflect on a verse in Surah Al-Hadid in which Allah describes something of that time to come. He said, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. On that day, you will see the believing men and women with their light racing forth before them, and by their right hands, glad tidings to you this day. You have attained gardens under which rivers flow. That is indeed the greatest success. This is the promise of Allah. Those of us who realize what is to come, and our efforts are not for this life, but for the next life. What we do of this life is in preparation for that next life. Those deeds will become light for us on that day. Light ahead of us and on our right sides. And Allah goes on to say, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُنظُرُوا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسْ نُورًا. And on that day, the hypocrites, both men and women, will say to the believers, wait for us, let us get some of your light. It will be said to them, go back to the rear and seek light there. Those who claimed to be Muslims, the hypocrites, who claimed to be Muslims, will be begging for that light because they have no good deeds on that day. The deeds that they have done were deeds for this life. They will not benefit in the next life, so it is not a source of light. And they will be begging the believers for light, sharing in their light. But Allah will not permit it. And Allah goes on to say, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٌ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. Then a wall will be placed between them with a gate in it. Inside the gate, there will be mercy, and outside it, there will be torment. يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُنْ مَعَكُمْ. The hypocrites will then call out to the believers saying, weren't we with you in the life of this world? The believers will say, قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ فَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. The believers will reply, yes, you were with us, but you tempted yourselves into doing wrong, and you wavered and doubted, and you were deceived by the false hope, by false hopes, until the command of Allah came to pass, and you had been deceived with respect to Allah by the arch deceiver, Satan. The hypocrites call out to the believers, weren't we with you? So what are we talking about? We're talking about Muslims. Muslims who were among the believers, but they were hypocrites. They thought themselves to be Muslims. غَرَّتْكُمْ الْأَمَانِيُّ. They were deceived by their false hopes. They were saying, we're Muslims. We should go to paradise. We will not go to hell because we're Muslims. Because all of Prophet's followers will go to paradise. They were deceived by these false hopes. When they had the opportunities to do good, they relied on the false hope. We're Muslims. We don't need to do these things. We don't need to sacrifice of our wealth because we've got paradise anyway. They have been deceived. We have been deceived. And this is the same state of the Jews and the Christians who think that paradise is theirs simply because they are Jews and Christians. This is the height of delusion. See what happens, as Allah said. On that day, those of us who are deluded in this way, we will have no light. And those who were with in this world, who were our friends, etc., but who are doing good, who are making the sacrifice, a barrier will be placed between us and them. They will get paradise, and we will get hell. This is our future. This is what we should be focused on. This is what is to come. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, to reflect. As Allah goes on in the same surah, a few verses later, He then said, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Isn't it about time that the hearts of those who claim to believe become moved and humbled by Allah's reminder and what has been revealed to them of the truth, so that they don't become like those who were given the scriptures before them, and after a long time passed, their hearts became hardened. For many of them were sinful and disobedient. Isn't it about time, brothers and sisters, that our hearts be moved? Moved so that we would become of the believers, of those who actually fear Allah, who would utilize what Allah has given us in this life to prepare for the next, who would come to the aid of Muslims, whether it be those from Kosovo or those from Eritrea who had come to their aid, sacrificing of our wealth and our time, and also for our families, doing what is right with regards to protecting them from the evils of this society, seeing that our children are educated Islamically. Isn't it time that our hearts be moved, be touched, to change our outlook and to change our behavior so that we can ultimately become of those who believe and earn paradise in the next life? So the millennium, the new second millennium, is not something that we should be seeking, looking forward to anxiously, because it has nothing for us. Christ will not come, the world will not end, as Christians believe, because the major signs have to come, the minor signs have to come, that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ prophesied, and they haven't come. So we will not be caught up in that at all. Instead, we will know what are the signs, but our focus will be on ourselves, on our own lives, on the future which faces each and every one of us: death. That is our future. Death is certain. If we have doubts about paradise and hell, we have no doubts about death. We need to think about death. This is why Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, "I used to prohibit you from visiting the graveyards, but go and visit them." In the early part of Islam, they were prohibited. But later, it was encouraged, because it is better to remind us of the hereafter. Let us not forget death, which is around the corner for each and every one of us. Either we believe what Allah has revealed, what Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has clarified, and we strive for it, or we don't believe, we become deluded that we're not going to die. Maybe some scientific development will come and extend life. You know, this is what Western science is promising us. Eventually, the pill for old age is coming. We'll be able to live forever. Either that, or somebody from across the galaxy is going to come and visit us and give us the elixir of eternal life. Some way it's coming. Either we get caught up in that. This is the New Age religion. Or we look around us. How many of the people of our grandparents' generation are still living? The great grandparents, the people of our parents, on our own level, people are dying all around us. Let us reflect. We have a chance to save ourselves. I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to save ourselves. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khair, brother Bilal Phillips. We will accept question and answers. I'm going to read them out. I'd like any of you that have questions to write them on a piece of paper, bring them forward, or hand them over to the ushers at the bottom of the stairs and give them to me. I will read them out. And you may address the question to either of the speakers, inshallah. Okay, I guess we're going to switch. Sorry. I think we're going to skip the question and answers. I think everybody has decided to leave, so it's quite a commotion. Inshallah, if you want to send any questions up to the front, we'll see if the Dawah Center can have them answered for you. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There are a few contents that are left in the washroom. There's a little purse here. There's a